Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. It's Wednesday and Thabiso Ntubazana is going to be here just after 9 o'clock. Please remember to call in early, 086-000-0959. That's the number to dial for all your legal queries, questions, concerns, absolutely anything. And if she does not have an answer, she usually brings in an expert to explain it further. So please send those questions much, much earlier in the show so that we can get through them. Sometimes I know, sometimes you get to it quite late. I promise you, if you don't want us to mention your name and you want to keep it anonymous, we will do that. If you send your voice note early, it's not a problem. We'll play it then when she arrives. But try and get through those early so that we can make sure that we're able to respond to your legal questions. But we begin with a story that I think today has become quite a talking point. It's a battle between... Well, in fact, the article was written by JJ Tabani. Many of you will know JJ Tabani, which alleged a few things about a Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, Minister Dean McPherson. And there were all kinds of allegations that that also alleged that there were bribery allegations, or at least attempts of a bribery allegations against to a journalist. Was asked to write negative reports against the Independent Development Trust. The Independent Development Trust is a unit within the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Okay, so let's get that out the way. We are told that there were sort of, you know, persuasion by the minister to write these terrible reports against the CEO of the IDT, Tebogo Malaka. We are also hearing, though, that the person, this particular journalist who JJ Tabane says, alleges, was requested to do the dirty work, so to speak, has now refuted that. So we're going to try and get to the bottom of it with the journalist himself tomorrow and another journalist as well to just clarify a few things. As you can see, you know, we're going to piece it together step by step. But the war has begun. EFF has come out guns blazing itself, saying, you know, this is the DA that tells everybody that they fight corruption. So they are asking for some action. So let's welcome onto the show Snawo Tambo again, EFF spokesperson. Thanks again for joining us today. Good evening and welcome, Mr. Tambo.
Good evening to the listeners.
Let's just maybe take us through the information that you've received about allegations of corruption within the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure directly leveled at Minister Dean McPherson.
Look, so the information we received is that Dean McPherson, acting on behalf of Lone Rock Constructions, was attempting to apply undue pressure to a junior staff member at the IDT in order to ensure that payments were made to this Lone Rock Construction Company for the work they had done at the Waterkloof Air Force Base in Tshwane for the tender that they had received in 2019. So instead of allowing the Director Generals or the Deputy Director Generals to interact with the accounting operational affairs of the entity, which is an entity of the department that he's a minister of, he decided to get involved personally, which is something that is not part and parcel of his mandate as someone who's part of the executive. And that was reported to us, and that is what we find as serious interference and as something that might be representative of a conflict of interest and a violation of his executive of the Executive Ethics Members Act that governs him as a member of cabinet.
And correct me if I'm wrong, ordinarily these funds would have been paid anyway by Treasury, National Treasury, not necessarily by the department.
Absolutely. But also the reason why that there was a delay in payment is because there was variations from the agreed scope of the work that was done. And of course, that had an impact on the cost of the contract itself. So the variations, to put in monetary terms, the contract when it started in 2019 is 164 million. As we sit here today, it's sitting at 210 million, meaning that there has to be an approval for Treasury for such variations and for such payments to be made. And the impatience by the minister to accept this reasoning from the IDT forced him, or sort of inspired him, to want an intervention to be made directly through him. And what's so odd is that he even makes that concession in the email that he writes to the staff member at the IDT that normally I wouldn't be doing this. This is not something I would ordinarily be doing. So he understands in his own conscience mind that this is something that is irregular, and yet he did it anyway. And that is what we want to be investigated, not only by the police, but by the Public Protector and the Ethics Committee of Parliament.
Have you opened a case already?
Yes, we opened a case through our Secretary General this afternoon at the South African Police Station in Central Pretoria, where we outlined our case through an affidavit, and we engaged with members of the media. And of course, we will now be submitting a complaint to the Public Protector and the Ethics Committee of Parliament to also hold them accountable and investigate them.
Thank you very much for that. EFF spokesperson Sanao Tambo there, just outlining exactly what they found to be quite a strange scenario within the Department of Public Works, where the minister was, they say, there were emails that prove that the minister had directly tried to influence payment and directed payments to this particular company, Lone Rock Construction. On the line, listening into that conversation, and I don't know how much he heard of it, is DA spokesperson Willy Oorkamp. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening and thank you very much for having me. I want to say that I could not listen into that conversation, so I don't know really what to react to.
Okay.
But let's try. You can guide me with your questions.
Not a problem at all. Well, I mean, I think anyway, you're aware that the EFF has decided to open a case with the police alleging some interference by Minister McPherson in his department directly to a tender that had to do with Independent Development Trust. Can you speak to that? And whether the minister has, you know, spoken to you about this particular tender, and what do you know?
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I think that the EFF is trying to really clutch at straws here. The EFF went to lay charges against Minister McPherson, and they based those charges on an email that Minister McPherson sent on the 9th of December. Now, I want to just firstly state that that specific email was made available 2 weeks ago already by Minister McPherson to the media. And the media didn't do anything about that because there's nothing in it. The background and the facts of this matter is that Minister McPherson received an email from the presidency, which had a question regarding an overdue payment of more than 20 months to a service provider. That came from the presidency. So Minister McPherson on the 9th of December wrote an email to his department, and he included the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer of the IDT, in that email. Let me read that email to you. He says, good day, then he mentions the name. I'm not going to mention the name. He goes on and says, you will appreciate that I don't normally get involved in matters like this, but it appears that commitments have not been executed, and now I am being dragged into this matter. Can I please receive an urgent report on why IDT has not done this and resolved this matter despite assurances that this would be done, regards Dean McPherson? So he's not instructing anybody to make a payment. He's not interfering with a tender. He's asking, due to the fact that he received the question from the presidency, is asking what's going on here. Please give me a report. That is exactly what a minister must do. He must get the facts. He must ask for a report. So the EFF is basing their criminal charges against Minister McPherson on this email. Now, I've read the email to you. The email is out there in the open for anybody to see. There's absolutely nothing wrong done by Minister McPherson yet. The bigger question, what we've got to ask ourselves, is that what is the relevance of the timing of this whole thing? Just today, Minister McPherson announced a forensic audit into the adjudication of a tender of more than 800 million rand for the supply of oxygen to hospitals. And we know that when somebody ruffles the feathers when it comes to amounts like that, there are people that will do a lot of things to try and protect themselves. I think this whole thing of the charges laid by the EFF and the allegations made by JJ Tabane and others are an orchestrated effort to really try and deviate from what is really going on here. And that is cutting and fighting corruption on a daily basis. And Minister McPherson is doing an excellent job in that regard. The EFF should rather have complimented Minister McPherson for really trying to combat corruption within his department than to go and opportunistically try to go and lay charges against Minister McPherson. Based on the email that I've just read to you, anybody that can read for meaning will be able to tell you that there's absolutely nothing wrong that Minister McPherson did and wrote in that email.
Well, I mean, I'm loath to go into the details of that email. Both you and I don't think are actually, you know, at liberty to do that because we don't, you know, we don't speak on behalf of the ministry. We reached out to the ministry and they've said to us that actually they're referring interviews to the DA. So let's see if you can respond to some of these. If he acknowledges that, you know, this is not something that he would ordinarily be interfering in or at least looking into, why then did he, you know, couldn't he have allowed the bureaucrats to do the work themselves and iron it out? He didn't have to respond directly and follow up on the request.
He was requested by the presidency.
Yes, but the presidency.
On this matter.
But it's not the president.
No. You asked me a question. Now you must just allow me to answer you.
I just wanted to clarify what I was saying.
No.
Mr. Welcome, I'll give you a chance. I'm just saying, understand what I'm asking. I'm saying.
I'm understanding exactly what you're asking.
Okay.
And to answer you, he has been requested by the presidency to look into this matter. Although he says that he don't normally get involved, normally doesn't mean he never does. A minister must get involved in the workings of his department if there is something amiss. And that is clearly what was happening here. If a service provider does not get paid for more than 20 months, and you then get an inquiry from the presidency, and then you can obviously get involved. He don't want to do that, but he has to. So it's not that that is not allowed. He just don't want to. He want to steer away from that as far as possible. Unfortunately, sometimes things like this happens and ministers have to interfere. So that is why he used the word normally. But normally doesn't exclude the fact that he's got the right to do so. He's doing his job. And that is why he does not want to normally get involved. But if it needs to, he will get involved. And so must every minister.
The reason I say you and I are limited in having this conversation is because we don't actually understand the working ins of that office. And it would be futile for me actually to pursue this because I would go as far as saying to you, was that particular employee the right person for the minister to engage with in terms of the ranking of that individual? And I don't think you can actually answer that question. We are having a hypothetical conversation based on principle, yes, the minister
Mello,
has to get it
can
wrong.
Can I ask you a question? Have you seen that email?
Let me finish my point, Mr. Walker. The point I'm making is that I don't know whether the merits of this conversation, I mean, this particular allegation, are worth anything or not. What I am concerned about is the office of the ministry directing us to you, telling us that you are doing the interviews, not them directly answering.
Okay, I can't answer you on that. I do not work for the ministry. I have been contacted by your radio station in my capacity as the spokesperson for the Democratic Alliance, of which Minister Dean McPherson is a member.
Yes.
So I can't answer you on that. If the department did say that,
yeah,
it should not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
I can't answer you on that. What I've asked you just before that is whether you saw that email, because just before that you said, but did he have the right to send that email to that specific person? This email, if you saw that email, you would have seen that this email has been sent to quite a number of people in his department,
mm-hmm,
which includes the chief financial officer of the Independent Development Trust,
mm-hmm,
as well as a representative from the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this is an email from a minister that's asking questions of the inner workings of his department, and he must do that. He must oversee the workings of his department. And receiving a request from the presidency, who is his boss, obviously you've got to do that. That is what has been lacking in this government, is ministers really doing their job. And I think that a lot of bureaucrats are not used to having a minister who really works hard, is there for the right reasons, and does his job to the letter. So I think we should look into this whole thing and ask ourselves the timing of this. Why are people all of a sudden making a lot of noise? There's journalists out there, with all due respect, that saw this email and that could read this, but they did not want to post that. They did not want to report on that already 2 weeks ago, when apparently the minister made that available. So I think if everybody looks at this email objectively, there's no way that you can say that the minister did something wrong. I think we should really compliment the minister. Coming back to your question with regards to the way that you've been referred to me, I have been requested by you as a member or as a spokesperson for the Democratic Alliance to speak to you. I can't say why and how. The minister and his department did make a statement on this, by the way, earlier today as well. So if you read that statement, you could have speak to them as well.
No, we did. And that's exactly what I'm asking. I'm asking you because you agreed. I'm asking you because we were directed to you. And so I'm not going to push back on the things that you're responding to, precisely because I don't think you and I can respond to those. What I do think is that I find it curious that we are having a conversation where so many gaps exist. I wanted to ask you now and whether you know anything about these bribery allegations with a journalist. I'm not even sure that you can respond to that because it's not you who's involved directly.
You are right. I'm not involved in it, but I've read up on it and I've did my investigations on it. And if you talk about the bribery allegations, yeah, that was JJ Tabane. JJ yes. Tabane is a political consultant who also moonlights as a media personality. And he made the allegation that the minister, Minister Dean McPherson, apparently bribed a journalist to have bad ratings in his articles about the IDT. That journalist came out yesterday. It's Peter Louis Myburgh, yes, a very renowned journalist. He came out yesterday and he challenged JJ Tabane and said, please get me on your show so that I can set the record straight. So I don't know where JJ Tabane got this from. Mm. The whole old rule in journalism, if somebody tells you it's raining, you can maybe write about it. Mm. But the easiest thing is get your head and put it out of the window and make sure for yourself that it's raining before you write that it's raining. Yeah. And I think it is terrible journalism to not go and make sure for yourself, to not comment on these allegations if you have not read the email, or if you have read the email, to just stray away and not handle that email in your comments. Because that is unfortunately what happened here for almost 2 weeks now. All the articles that was in the different newspapers, and I'm not going to mention them by name, but none of those articles handled the facts stated in this email. And you and me, we can shy away and say we can't really talk about this. I am the spokesperson of the Democratic Alliance, of which Dean McPherson is a member. And I have been approached today by various media houses to give our comment on this. And this is our comment, because I can read, I checked that email, I had a discussion with Minister Dean McPherson about this, because he's a party member, he's also liable to our party. And him in his department also issued a statement. So if they don't want to speak to you, maybe you can then just comment on the statement that they've issued.
No, we have. And the question then is, as the party, you are coming out to say, with all the facts presented to you that is open and out in the public, you are quite comfortable that the minister is squeaky clean on this one and there is really nothing to worry about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as you rightly said now, the information that you and me are discussing now are all in the public out there. And it's clear if you look at that. I mean, it's prima facie. If you look at that, there's absolutely no case to be made out against the minister. And then you've got to protect a minister like that. We've got to protect every single minister, whether it's an ANC or a DA minister, that is fighting corruption. We must protect them. The Democratic Alliance and our ministers, and hopefully the other ministers as well, will not get deterred from fighting corruption. And we can see the smoke screens that people are putting up. And we are firmly of the opinion that this is one of them. If you look at the bots and the attacks, it reminds you of the, it smacks of the state capture days when the pushback against exposure was a bell-potting, a fight-back campaign of personal attacks, bots and biased journalists. And as it was during the bell-potting attack on South Africa, online bots syndicating and sharing one another's false content are at play in this matter too. Unfortunately, it's now focusing on McPherson, but spreading identical false messages. You should go and have a look at that. We will not get deterred by that. The fight against the entrenched serious corruption is not easily won, and we will keep on fighting that fight. The fight for the future of South Africa, free of corruption, with a rebuilt economy, growth and jobs, is really worth every bit of false slander and personal defamation that Minister McPherson and some other ministers as well go through, because South Africa is more important. And we will not relent. The DA will not be intimidated or deterred by any of these allegations, false as they are.
Pieter Louis Meyerburger has been requested to speak to us. He will speak for himself on this platform. We've given him that space. As I said, we've reached out to the minister's office and we were told to speak to you. This is why we're having this conversation. You know that the AFF has gone and opened a case. Your response to that, is the minister willing to go through that investigation? To be quite honest, Mr. Oakham, I'm not going to go back and forth with you on the merits of the case because I'm not an investigator.
Sure.
So, I really do want to shy away from commenting on some of the things you're asking me because I'm not an investigator. There are things that I think can be handled by the professionals, but are you aware that there has been a case and how do you respond to that?
Well, we have been made aware through the media today, and the EFF made a statement where they mentioned the specific email of the 9th of December, and they said that they based their case on this, so that is how we came to know about this whole thing. I have read you that email. That email has been in the public domain now for 2 weeks, and anybody can go and have a look at that. I think it is political opportunism by a party, a political party, the EFF, who is really fighting to try and stay relevant. They have bled a large number of prominent leaders over the last couple of months. And I think this is testimony to the huge vacuum of leadership within the EFF. Be that as it may, they laid these charges and we've got to react to them. I'm glad that Pieter Louis Meyerburg will say what he has got to say, but on his own Twitter account yesterday, that is what was said, that he challenged J.J. Tabani to go on his show and to have Pieter Louis Meyerburg on his show. I can't speak on his behalf. I can speak on what I read. And I would urge anybody that's trying to comment on this to go and read up about all the background information on this, because it will give you a clear picture that this is an orchestrated attack against a minister who is working extremely hard to fight corruption. And I'm not going to repeat myself about the importance of us not relenting on that fight.
Have you spoken to Pieter Louis Meyerburger?
No, I have not. I've read his tweets on this. I have not spoken to him.
All right. Willy Oakham is the DA spokesperson. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you talking to us this evening. This is on the back of the allegations by the EFF, and they stem actually before that from an article written by J.J. Dabane that you may have seen or may not have seen. We have reached out to the journalist that's referred to here in an article by J.J. and those allegations that he was bribed or requested to write in a negative light. This is an allegation that is leveled by J.J. Dabane. We want to hear from him. And so he will be talking to us hopefully tomorrow to just clarify what exactly is that about. I want to ask the department itself directly questions that I don't think the DA can respond to. The DA, in my view, is responding politically to how the EFF, they're saying, is slandering them. That's not tackling the merits of the case. I don't think it would be wise for me to tackle the merits of the case, nor do I think the DA can tackle the merits of the case, because they they won't be able to respond to the things that I think the department must respond to. So we'll keep at it and ask the department to come on and answer questions, which I think are quite valid, even though you heard the email itself. I think there are things that we need to ask, but I think that the department itself, the ministry's office or the minister himself, must answer those questions himself.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.